Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not a iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You've heard it said of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. O Lord, have mercy on us." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There was an ancient church practice that before Holy Communion, they would have a kiss of peace. It was a way for you to find out who didn't like each other, right? Who had something against their brother that they refused to shake hands, to kiss. There the bishop would be watching, and when he saw it, he would go down and help them. Right then and there in the middle of the service, he would help to reconcile these two brothers or sisters to each other so that they could rightly come to the altar without violating what our Lord says here, coming in a sinful, impenitent heart before the Lord. In the 20th century, we tried to revive that practice a little bit by having a passing of the peace, usually just with shaking hands, even though it was probably one of those Italian mafia kisses. It's just a little too much for us Americans. And obviously, we can't do that anymore thanks to the COVID. But it never really came off the same way, did it? I myself always thought it was a little fake, because you know, especially if you're from the Midwest, you're going to shake everyone's hand. You're going to turn around, you know, the little kids and the pastors in some cases are going to run up the aisles and try and get everyone they can, right? And it doesn't really matter if you like them or if you don't like them. You're going to shake their hand anyway. That actually defeats the purpose of that old tradition, doesn't it? To have a fake peace, a fake love and reconciliation for one another, where we can shake hands and kiss, but in our hearts we still are saying, "Raka, you fool, I hate you." I'm not sure the practice deserved to be revived as a result. But what our Lord Jesus says was reviving something far greater than just a church ceremony. He was reviving the law of God in all of its strength and its fullness. "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law. I've come to fulfill it." And in fact, anybody who relaxes even the smallest of the commandments of God is least, that is to say, really, out of the kingdom. That's harsh. It's not the Jesus that we really expect, is it? Jesus is the gospel man. He's the guy who comes to make everything positive, right? The surprising thing in the Holy Scriptures, in the Gospels in particular, is that Jesus comes as a preacher of the law. He comes as one who preaches the law more stridently than others. In some places, people said of him, well, this man speaks with authority, right? He's not quoting rabbis. He's just coming and preaching it to me, right? Think of what he said to that Pharisee, that man who came and said, you know, well, who's my neighbor? What's the greatest commandment? Jesus didn't start into a debate. He said, you love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And if that's unclear, well, why don't you go sell everything that you have? Jesus did not come debating or fiddling with the law. He did not come with a ceremonial understanding of it or just a social nicety understanding of the law. He came preaching it. And as our confessions say, Jesus opens up the law. They're drawing on language from St. Paul in 2 Corinthians, that Jesus takes the veil away, the prophylactic, if you will, in front of the law that prevents it from doing its work. And its work is to reduce us to nothing, to show that, in fact, it's more than avoiding murder, which I venture to guess nobody in this room and probably almost nobody watching on the video has ever done. And yet Jesus says anybody who's made an offhanded comment or said, man, that guy's an idiot, is guilty of hell itself. And then he goes into the part that I started with, right? So if you find yourself going to the altar and you remember that there is somebody who has something against you, you've got to make this right. Well, except that's not the way Jesus says it, does he? He says you must be reconciled to your brother. And then he goes into talking about this analogy, we might call it, right? That you have to come to quickly to terms with your accuser while you are on the way, right? Because if you ever actually get to the courtroom, you're probably doomed. This is not talking anymore about our life with our neighbors, but is definitely talking about what God has to do with us. We're all, I suppose, on the way to the courtroom, right? Judgment day is coming. And for some of us, it'll happen, I suppose, right? After man is appointed to die once, and then comes the judgment. But for all of us, we will stand before the Lord at the last day, right? And if you're going to wait to then to settle it, if you're going to wait to then to find out if the Lord and you are right, it's going to be way too late. And if you, like those goats in Jesus' other parable, want to say, well, we'll weigh out the evidence and see, right? When did we not, you know, serve you, Lord? When did we not do the great things? When did we not go to church and share that kiss of the peace, right? The Lord will bring it all out, all the evidence that stands against you, and boy, you will have to make up for it forever. Of course, the way that a Christian realizes is not to wait for the last day for the condemnation that, according to our works, is certain to come. We come to terms with our accuser now. And we don't come to terms with him on our terms. And we don't come to terms with him on the world's terms. We come to terms with him as he has promised himself in his death and in his resurrection for us. Yeah, Jesus said he's not come to abolish and relax and make the law something easy to do, reduce it to maybe a handshake, which anybody can bite their tongue and get around. But he's come to say, I'm going to take it full force myself. I'm going to have all of your transgressions nailed to my body on the tree, the record of debt that stands against each of us, and I'm going to answer for it, right? I've not come to abolish the law, I have come to fulfill it. And yes, nothing is going to pass away from it until it finds its accomplishment. It is finished in my blood shed for you. Thus, every time we accuse ourselves according to the law and don't weasel around it, but say, yeah, in all of its fullness, that's true. And God is not a liar, I am. We're coming to terms with him. But, of course, we do not stop there. We come to terms with God in the reconciliation that he has won for us by his son's death. Right? Our sins are forgiven by him. That's our only hope. That's the only way we'll be found right, is if he declares it so as he has in Christ Jesus. And that does not come at the last day. Don't you dare wait for it. Find it now in the forgiveness of sins spoken to you, in the word of the gospel that is always washing over you and reminding you you've been baptized, you've been declared the Lord's own righteous, redeemed one. And thus, even though we might be murderers according to the law, we have found reconciliation in Jesus Christ, our fulfillment and our accomplishment for us. And thus we have hope for the last day. And we are not afraid to come into the hardest of all work, of actually confronting, reconciling, working it out with all of the brothers and sisters here in the meantime. Thanks be to God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Jamie Lynn Tinkey, who serves the Lord in the Dominican Republic. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.